Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's kind of that day we're looking for, isn't it? Kind of is upon us here, November 3rd. What are we going to do after this? After this election's over, what are we going to do? I don't mean what are we going to do. I mean, what's going to be the focus then? Are we going to watch sports again? What, this thing seems like it's been going on forever and ever and ever. And here we are at the culmination. That's why I'm in my war outfit today. I don't really even know why I'm in my war outfit. Everybody's asking the same question. Can you trust the polls? Is Trump going to win? Boy, oh, boy. Tough
hey,
one.
Coach,
yeah.
I have an idea for what we can do when the election is over, no matter who wins. We can start resetting and reconstructing our republic the way it's supposed to be.
Well, Larry, that's it's funny because that was one of the things I wanted to talk about today is what next? What next? If Trump wins tomorrow, what next? If Trump loses tomorrow, what next? I'm going to say this. There is no way he'll lose. But, you know, your eyes work, don't they? I mean, you see massive, 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 massive crowds. You see no enthusiasm for Biden, and they're calling a Biden, you know, something crazy going on, folks. So understand the devil's got a game plan. He's executing that game plan as well. We can't be caught with our pants down, catch a breath tomorrow, and get sucker punched. First, I'm going to talk about some of that this morning. Jeff, did you want to say something? I saw you waving your hand. I didn't know.
Oh, I was waving at Steve.
Oh, hey, Steve. He's waving at you, Steve. I was moved by this morning, Isaiah 40. I just asked, as we went down there this morning, let us never, ever, ever, ever forget this. Let me stop a second. What would the media do? What would the left do if lying was made illegal? If they made lying a death penalty, what would the left do? It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how they lie. And, you know, they took that great work that we did when we were in Washington, D.C., and they turned that into lies. And wow. I'm Isaiah 40, verse 21, Mike. I want everybody to think about this. We get so wrapped up in what's going on. Have you not known? Have you not heard, Steve? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants there are as grasshoppers. It is he that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. It's he that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yeah. They shall not be planted. Yeah, they shall not be sown. Yeah, their stocks shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them. They shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power. Not one fails. What do you say, O Jacob, and speak of my Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Have you not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increased their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, wow, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My go to Isaiah 41:10. Let's go to the next verse, 41:10. I want to encourage you this morning. This is all good reading. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive will strive with thee shall perish. You shall seek them, shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing. This is a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, because I'm going to help you out. So here we are in the midst of this great tumultuous thing we call earth, the world, this realm that we live in. And we think that we have the ability to manipulate God and create our own. And just rest in the knowledge that the God's omnipotent. But here's what it is. See, I was watching today. You know, I did the thing on Hagman last night, and I did. You know, we've had some media coming our way and some different stuff like that. And you know, I still continue to be amazed by. How do I say this? The purists within our ranks who really are of no good to us. And I don't care about the political realm. I mean, God's ultimately in control of this stuff. Can somebody explain to me? I'm serious now. Can somebody explain to me? This is going to seem like it's coming out of the left field, but I think it's pertinent. How voting for a third party in this election. Can anybody explain to me from a Christian perspective why that makes any sense? I'm going to shut up a minute because I see it all over the internet. Can anybody help me out with it? How that makes any sense at all?
Coach, I think it's because the young people, at least for the young people, Coach, the young people grew up in this mess, so they don't see how bad it is. That's what I think. They don't know when it was good.
Clay, I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians, fundamentalist Christians, who don't understand the battle that is raging. Psalm 2, kings of this earth, conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, and how to them it is sin to actively engage in the. You got to pick a horse. You got to pick a horse in this war, and how they can't pick a horse. They want to go vote for some other stallion that's not even in the. Not even.
They must be Christians who ignored the part of the Bible that says to learn to discern good from evil.
No, Larry. They discern good from evil, and they think they're
not
both
they
evil.
Vote, not if they vote for evil.
No, they think both are evil. They think both are evil. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I agree totally with Doug Hagman. He said, if you're waiting on Jesus to come be on the ballot before you vote, he said, unfriend me. Get off of my platform. I don't want you. Coach, it's ignorance to look at it like that. And it's a demonic strategy to pull people, Christian people out of the voting box to do that. It's wrong.
So somebody help me. Dale, somebody help me here. What is the logic behind I can't vote for that guy because he's not strong enough in his personal character? Now, listen, I understand if I'm picking a son-in-law. I understand. But in this race that we are in here today, somebody help me out. Dale, help me out, man. You got more wisdom than me.
Well, you know, because I didn't vote for Trump and I had not voted for Republican. I'm not. Here's the problem is that, and I've seen them and I've engaged like Russell Hunter. I've engaged with them. I'm not gonna slam a man because of his conviction on that, because there's many third people on the ballot. I get that. And so I'm not gonna bash them, but I don't want them bashing me because I did vote for Trump this time. So the question, and this was Andy Pyle, who is the vice president on the ticket with Tom Huffling, and he asked me, what changed, Dale, after what you did? I said, well, Tom, I said, the fact of the matter is Donald Trump has proved to me that he's not a politician on the ticket. And America has fallen away so far. On Sunday, I shared from John Adams what he would talk like when he was the second president of the United States. And I begin to say, what's happened to our country? Is there any politician out there talking like this? Because we have, and I go back to it, Coach, what is so burning in my spirit, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But it does not say, blessed is the nation whose God was the Lord. But for me, Donald Trump, it's not about holding my nose. I looked at Donald Trump and I said, he is a patriarch. I said, this man has fallen from the grace of God like every other person. But that's not what he's doing in the White House. He is absolutely doing what is right. I don't see him doing perverted sexual things like he might have done. Like Paul said, I once was one of these. And so I'm not going to convict a person or bash a person because they might vote for him. But when those in the piety want to turn around and then slam you or slam I, brother, that right there is a brother who sows discord, and the Lord calls that an abomination.
Okay, so let's think about it. Well said, Dale. Let's think about this. This is not the Donald Trump wild card that we were dealing with 4 years ago. I can understand 4 years ago people saying, you know, he's an adulterer, he owns casino. I get it. We're 4 years down that road, folks. We're not dealing with the same caricature that we were dealing with 4 years ago. This is very, very clearly good and evil, in my opinion. Good and evil, in my opinion. And I still, for the life of me, cannot figure out why Christian people can't see it. Don't understand. So, I'm asking, man. I'm asking for some help here. I run into it every day. I run into it. Like somehow somehow the purity of their vote is far more important than actually picking a side in this battle. Come on in.
The word says, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. If you have been seeking the heart of the Father and you are made aware of the platform of the Republican, you understand that the heart of the Father is to vote for Donald Trump. He's a man, just like King David. He's a man. I mean, I believe God put him in that position, and what he's done is unbelievable. I mean, even moving the embassy, he's kept his word. He's kept his word. And Amen. So, yes, he has flaws. Yes, he messes up, but God put him there. And if you know the heart of the Father, to end abortion is on the heart of the Father. And this man is as pro-life as you can get. I don't understand that anyone would take votes away from this man.
Stay with me on this. Stay with it, because I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm I'm not playing games. I'm trying hard to figure this one out because I deal with these guys. Hey, Steve Deck, I'm about as radical off the edge of the world as people go, right? So I'm not talking about being some weak-kneed guy who won't take a position. I mean, I'm about as far as you can go out there. And I continually be amazed of the people who are my friends in my circle of friends who still don't understand, who are still 100% completely pure in their vote for a presidential candidate. I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
You're telling me that they have prayed about it. They call themselves born again believers and they're not voting for Trump. I don't know. They believe a strong delusion.
Now, listen, I listen. Please hear me. I know these people. I know how deep their commitment is. I understand how much they love the Lord and they serve Jesus. And they, at this critical time in this election where communism is on the ballot, or not so much communism. Let's say Trump's a sellout. He's just one of the Mossad. And let's say that. Still, the choices between baby killing, all that other mess, and then Trump, and they still will vote for a third party that has zero chance of impacting the call. I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Their conviction. Listen, brother. Once again, you knew right. The thing for me, once again, is that what this lady had just shared was that Trump fulfilled what he said, and Trump was not a politician. Trump did those things. These people have that conviction. Once again, I'm not going to bash them because of those convictions. It's kind of like this. I say this. I don't smoke. Somebody might smoke here. And I look at that and I say, you know, is that person going to hell because their conviction is not the same as mine? And I look at that and say, no. But then I look at them and said, but if God has told you to put them things down, is it now a sin to keep on smoking or drinking? You might, I don't drink. I mean, this is something God just set me and I don't drink because the Bible tells me not to. I don't drink because my desire is not there. So once again, here, I'm not going to focus on who's not voting. Coach, I can name you hundreds of people who did not vote for Trump based on those same convictions like I had back in 2016, and I still maintain my spiritual convictions. But I saw a man in the White House that no longer was a Republican rhino mouthpiece that did absolutely nothing. And I can name you hundreds of people who are now voting for Donald Trump who were not voting third party. That should encourage you.
I'm with you. I'm not talking about the election. I'm talking about the close-mindedness of some what I know are deeply Christian men. Am I clear? You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get how they cannot understand
I'm with the lady that said, if they're listening to the heart of God in their prayers and they've learned to listen in their prayers instead of just talk, God's not going to tell one of his children to vote one way and another one to vote another way. God is not duplicitous like that. So somebody ain't hearing.
Well, listen, I get.
Back to the drinking or smoking. I mean, I'm just telling you, we can't. Man, agree because I'm not going to bash them because they help. Because they are voting that way.
I'm not bashing them. When
I hear people saying that they're not hearing from God, that's a miscue right there because that's their conviction. No different whether you smoke or drink. If God is convicting you that you shouldn't and you continue, to that man it is sin. I believe that. If that's their conviction, that's fine. But don't rail on me for not having the same conviction as you. That's where my problem lies. I respect that if a person's conviction tells them otherwise, but to sit here and say that's not the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is not speaking to them, that's a farce. That is not true. And I'm not going to lump my brothers and sisters in Christ and say that they're not hearing from God because that they're pulling the lever for a third party candidate, no different than I don't want them bashing me because I'm not pulling the lever for that third party candidate, which I did do in 2016.
Amen. Go ahead, Silver. Go ahead, Silver.
Coach, what this illustrates clearly to me is the deception that resides within the church.
Mm. Joe, maybe that's what I'm getting at, Silver. That maybe that because Dale, stay there, Silver, stay there a second. Because Dale hit on something, and so did Larry hit on something. Why did the Holy Spirit so convict me to fight, to not vote for someone who's going to kill babies? And then somebody else say that the Holy Spirit's telling them, I'm not making myself. Yeah, you guys get what I'm saying. Go ahead,
they're
Joe.
They're not listening.
They would say, I'm not listening. No, Jack, let Silver finish.
They are not listening to the Holy Spirit because you have to take into account all of the stuff of the times that we're in. This nation is going to fall eventually. Somehow. I don't know how. It could be starting tomorrow. You know, a lot of people think that way. But
Joseph, how do I, when I know right now, one candidate seems to be doing everything, well, not everything, but seems to be really, really attempting to rescue the babies, the children, seems to be. The other one doesn't really give a darn. One of those two is going to be president of the United States, and I vote for somebody else. That's what I don't get. I understand conviction. I understand all of that. I understand the system's rigged. I understand they're not pure. I understand all that, but it is so clear that Donald Trump, if the church would rise up, Donald Trump, I think, wants to save children. If the church would rise up, I think Donald Trump wants to save children. I don't think Joe Biden wants to. I don't think Joe Biden wants to save children. How can I go vote for a third party when that one of those two guys is going to win? One of them will win. How can I say my vote's so pure? I'm going to go vote for this guy who has no chance of winning.
Coach, are these the same people that are bellied up against MSNBC and then flipping it over to CBN, the Christian network? Are these the same people? Because I'm about to determine that these same people are so steeped in deception and can't reason through basic issues and lack of discernment. I'm even questioning if they are Christian. I don't care.
I'm not questioning whether they're Christian. They are deeply committed Christian men. Criticizing them. I know their heart. I know their efforts. I know their works. I know them. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Coach, what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is not telling two different people to do different things that contradict with each other. I'm saying one of us is not hearing properly, and it could be me, but one of us is not hearing properly. Yep. I'll tell you this, time will reveal which one of us it is.
Go ahead.
A little spin on it, Coach. I know I grew up without politics. I didn't know anything about it. And when I met my wife, we learned about, you know, I started learning about voting and all these things. I mean, I've really been out of it. Many, many people in the country are the way I was. They go, and when they learned to vote, they were told, go vote RRRRR, DDDDD. So now you got a whole country that's been voting DDDDD. Anytime they go in there, they don't know what it means. They have no clue what it means. They don't watch the news. So now we got a Christian. You're thinking that people are actually looking at the candidates to determine which one's Christian? They don't do that. They go in there once a year and go D, 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 yeah, every year because their wife will yell at them if they don't or whatever, their parents, or they're this or that. Now, you want people to take the time out of their day to figure out politics? I mean, you got a country who don't care. 80% of the people, 90% don't care. They just want to live their lives and play their football and paint their faces, send their kids to be eaten. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's hard to get them to learn is the time commitment that it takes to be a Christian. They don't want to replace all their godless routines with Christianity and learning about candidates. I think
so.
That's
Jay, so, So JR, what's the point? I see your comments popping in here, JR. What's the point you're trying to make, JR?
I've been there and done that. John Adams, somebody brought that up earlier. Duty is ours. The results are God's. That's what these people were thinking. Okay, Larry, you talk about unity. We need to bring this to unity instead of dividing each other. This subject right now is dividing the group, and it shouldn't be. We should be looking for a way to be united in this. And we don't know. We don't know that if Donald Trump doesn't get elected because of the third party, then maybe it's going to change what we do. We have no idea what the outcome is going to be here. We have to respect. I agree. The thing that I've always been curious about is it's the same spirit, but we all come up with a different way of doing things. We've got different receivers. I respect what you're saying. I respect what Larry's saying, what Silver's saying, but I respect what Dale's saying. And we need to work this out. I would say not in public necessarily, but behind the scenes.
Well, first of all, hang on, Randy. I'll bring in just a second. First of all, I am not in any way, shape, or form attacking anybody. I respect the men that I'm talking about. I know these men. I respect these men. I can't figure out. One of us appears to be missing it. Am I compromising because I'm voting for Trump? Or are they missing stuff? That's what my question. Help me out here. I'm not criticizing them in their stand. I'm not I'm trying to figure it out. Come on
in,
Randy.
They have a mesmerizing spirit. That's why they can't see or hear from the Holy Spirit.
Well, maybe I have a mesmerizing spirit. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem.
Coach.
Go ahead, Randy.
You don't have a compromising spirit. Don't get me wrong. Listen, Coach, let's go back 4 years. I remember at an OSA event when you came up there. And you shared that. And listen, brother, we have been good friends through all of this. And you know where I stood back then, brother. Let me tell you what. I'm just telling you that you because your convictions tell you otherwise. That's why. And there's nothing wrong with that. And these are good brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
They will fight. They have been in jail. They have been mocked. They have been beaten. Their convictions are telling them elsewise. I don't think the third party is going to make a difference in this.
No.
If anything, I think the third party, that thing, because we were won over. My convictions are – that's where I – listen, where I've gotten bashed is because, Dale, you did this, and all of a sudden, what happened to you? You quit our team, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, brother, let me tell you what. I have a clear conscience before God Almighty. I don't need a clear conscience before man. Your conscience My conscience is clear otherwise.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Dale, because it's the same thing as what Paul said. Some of you eat some kind of food and others don't eat that kind of food. Some of you revere one day, others don't revere that day. Paul said, let each man be convinced in his own mind and don't let it cause division, like Jim said.
Go ahead, Randy.
Coach. And when it comes to voting, what we're doing, we're co-signing with something when we cast our vote. Coach, this is how we have to approach this as people, as Christian people. Look at the altar. Which one? Look at the altar. Don't look at the person. Look at the altar they're going to make their offering. Okay, you've got two altars. You've got an evil one. You've got an unrighteous altar and a righteous altar. And here's the president, and he's going to which one is he going to offer his offering on? You have Biden. He has nothing in him that produced that will take him to offer anything righteous, Coach. He goes to the unrighteous altar, and he offers evil offerings to Baal, to all these little gods. Donald Trump has personal failure, Coach, but I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at where he's going to lay his policy on to offer an offering, and it's a righteous offering, Coach, most of it, not all of it. So when I cast my vote, Coach, I'm not looking at Joe Biden's him. I'm not looking at Donald Trump as a person. I'm looking at where are they going to go lay their offering on the altar to offer. And that's, if we'll look at it like that, Coach, this is why a lot of the black people that have been Democrat there for 10 generations, they're not even looking at the man. They're looking at their altar, and they're just saying, I'm on that altar. Well, you're really not.
Good point, Randy. That's a good point. Listen, let me make this clear. I don't want to keep hammering this. I want to make this very clear. I am not criticizing my brothers who are voting third party. I'm not criticizing them. I'm asking myself this. Why do I see it differently? That's the question I'm asking. Not I'm right, they're wrong. Why is that brother of mine who is really my brother? How come we're not on the same page? That's the question.
Hey, Coach.
Not I'm right, he's wrong. No. Why aren't we on the same page? What am I missing? What am I missing that's making you with me? Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I mean, listen, I'll just give myself an example. When I used to vote third party, I would vote third party because I knew the system and where it was, just like all of us do. Okay. But when I changed to, from voting third party to voting for Donald Trump, because that's when I changed, I realized that my vote that I'm casting with my conviction that I wanted to go third party and I didn't like what this person represented, that actually my vote went for the more of the two evils. It went for the other person that I really didn't want in there. So then yes. I felt like my vote, here I am voting third party, but yet the candidate I ultimately did not want, totally despise, would get my vote. That's when I went for Trump.
Yeah, Randy, that's the great point, Steve. To say, listen, my conscience is clear. I'm voting my conscience. And my conscience says I cannot vote for somebody that's going to kill babies, whatever it would be. I get that. But the question I'm asking myself is, why don't I feel that way? I don't know what I'm asking. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah. Is it possibly a matter of whether they're voting personality or policy? Because, you know, if they're voting for the man, then it's a personality. And Trump is crusty, you know, and he has a sordid past, at least morally. But, you know, the question is, what do you want him for? Do you want him for his policy and how he's going to lead the country, or whether or not his wife is going to pick out the correct china to put in a White House?
That's true. That's true. But see, here's what I would say, Mel. Again, hey, Mike, get Tucker ready for me. The last thing here. In my opinion, personal morality aside, and whether or not God's going to hold me accountable for how I cast my vote. See, I can go a lot of different directions that, because if I in theological purity, personal theological purity, I could not vote for Donald Trump because he supports homosexuality. I can't vote for him. So I'm going to vote for a third party, and voting for that third party, I might allow something far more wicked to get into office. At what point do I not look like a sellout? Because why? Well, I'm going to vote for this, dare I say it, lesser of two evils. And as Randy said, or somebody said, I'm casting my ballot on an altar, not for a person. Is that making sense?
Well, the example that you gave really could be taken in both directions, because homosexuality can reflect on personality and policy.
Yes, you know? Yes, sir. But Mel, listen, folks, listen to me. If Joe Biden is elected, more babies are going to die. Period.
Yeah. You know, folks, if there had been democracies and elections in Jesus' day, we might have more guidance from this written word. But we do have guidance from the Holy Spirit now. It's a question of who is listening properly.
Okay, now wait a minute. See, Larry, you got to be careful with that, Larry. Because
I'm not blaming. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying I might be listening wrong.
Yeah, okay. I received that. See, I received that. Yes or no? Will more babies die if Joe Biden is elected? I say yes, and I'm going to fight that. And I don't understand how voting for a third party simply because I don't like Donald Trump helps the cause. Am I making sense? How does that help the cause?
Give me a second to get this to you, Coach. I've been thinking about it for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I think this is what's going on. These are religious men, and it's one of those situations, kind of like sitting back and not doing anything, letting God handling it. Those kind of people. Right. I think this is what's happening. All right. They say, my conscience is telling me I can't vote this person or that person. And so their conscience is telling them I need to vote for this third party candidate. Now, when you tell them, well, if you cast your vote for that third party candidate, you're really giving a vote to Biden. And then so you say, why you do that? And I think this is what their mindset may be. They say, well, God's telling me I need to vote for this candidate, this third party candidate. And although it's going to kill more babies, God's going to handle it. God's got the plan. If God don't want them babies killed, he'll make provision. That's what I think. Kind of like not going out and acting.
Well, you know, I think one aspect that we haven't looked at yet that does play a big role in this whole question is forgiveness. Now, we all have a past. Trump has a past. Now, we have a lot of times Trump, who know, you know, I believe that Trump has come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Okay, Lord and Savior. I don't know exactly when it happened because I'm not him, but I believe that he is my brother in Christ right now. And guess what? His past before he turned his life over to the Lordship of Jesus has been paid for. Jesus' blood on the cross paid for those mistakes, paid for that, whatever it was. Just like it paid for my past before I came to Jesus. Now, you got some preachers today that won't marry people that have been divorced. But guess what? God will forgive divorcees. If God will forgive them, how come that preacher won't? Is that preacher a higher authority of God that he's got the power to say, I won't forgive even though God does? Bullcorn.
Come on in, Randy.
Coach, look at it like this, guys. I have great – there's a U.S. senator in Oklahoma. He's been there for years. I don't like him. I never have liked him. I can't stand his personality. But he always votes with right. Coach, I vote for this guy every time. I don't – you know, because he always offers a righteous offering. He always votes for right. When the bills come up, he's always on the right side. I vote for him. I can't stand him, Coach. I do not like this man, but I'd vote for him. That's where what Mel is saying. You don't vote for personality. You vote for policy. You vote for what's going to happen. You have to look at it like that, folks.
Okay, so listen.
Coach.
Yeah.
Let me just add one thing real quick, and then I got to get back to work. If you had to get neurosurgery on your brain, would you carry about the neurosurgeon's bedside manner, or would you carry about his skills?
That's right.
And let me give you two verses here. You can look up and you can read them. It's Isaiah 43:14, Isaiah 44:24-28, and that speaks about Cyrus. And of course, we know what they say about Trump. He's a Cyrus. Cyrus was a real character. You can go to the Cylinder of Cyrus in the London Museum. Cyrus was a Persian. He was not a Jew, but he was used as an instrument of God to bring about the defeat of Babylon, who carried away the Jews in Israel. Okay? And that's what Trump is. He's an instrument of God. He's not a man of God. So I'm not talking about his faith. I'm talking about his personality and his actions. And basically, he's our modern-day Gallagher. Remember Gallagher? He used to take the watermelons and break everything up on stage. That's what Trump is. He's here to break things up so God can bring in the next thing that he wants done.
Okay, so listen. I'm gonna. Thanks, Craig. I'm gonna try to move off of this because I don't think I've expressed myself properly. Let me say this, and I'm gonna move off of this. There's a great moral confliction between me and some of my dear brothers in the Lord who love the Lord with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind. They do. And we don't see this issue the same. Larry was talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about whether I'm right or they're wrong. Right. I'm just saying, how can this be? That's my question. How can this be? And because I believe in supporting them and the conviction in their hearts, and they're my friends, and I'm not going to break fellowship over it, but I just don't get how we see it so differently. I just don't get it. That's my question.
And well, David, if you've ever sat on a jury, you hear the case, and then when the case is over with, you go in there and say, hey, let's vote right quick. And the thing is, the vote is 50-50 or whatever. And you wonder if they heard the same case you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's the way it is, because people pick up different things. But I just wanted to add on there too, is that if you believe that God put Donald Trump in office, you must also believe that God put Obama in there. God put Bush in there. God put Clinton in there. It's if God is in control or not, or whatever that is. I don't even really like that saying, but what is his purpose?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Hey. And it may not be what we think it is.
Would we agree?
You hit the nail on the head, Chad. If you believe that God put one in, you have to believe God put them all in. And then all you got to do is read the word. It says that he gives people, he gives nations good leadership to reward the nation when they've done good. He gives nations bad leadership to punish the nation and bring them back to a better path when they've done bad.
The leadership they deserve. Listen,
I'm a master communicator. Me, I'm talking about me. I'm a master communicator, and I have still not communicated my issue. You still are not getting the question that I am asking. Okay, the question that I'm asking is not, is Donald Trump, is God on Donald Trump? Did God select Donald Trump? Did God select Bush? That is not even my question. My question is, how is it that two godly men under the unction of the Holy Spirit see it so differently? When I see clearly the opportunity to have more babies live, my friend sees his vote as being sacred, and he can't vote for anybody who will kill even one. That's my dilemma. I'm not judging them. I'm not any way, shape, or form. I don't get it.
Coach,
what happened biblically, Paul and Barnabas, what happened with them? They both walked with the Lord, and it says that there was a sharp division amongst them, and they separated themselves, brother. Let me tell you what, we have the same Holy Spirit. There's a sharp division. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And I get it. I understand you. You're not out bashing. I see it on both sides. They're bashing those who are voting for Trump. The Trump voters are bashing those who vote. And brother, we need to understand, we are not cookie cutter Christians on this issue or any issue. We're not going to see everything eye to eye. Let me ask you, do you and your wife always see everything eye to eye? No. But you remain in the fellowship and the union with her because you do have the same headship, which is Christ.
Hey, Coach?
Lord, help me make my point. Yeah, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to say, however deeply we are in our convictions and our walk with the Lord, we still, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, we still see through a glass darkly. So we still have our own particular fleshly, biases, prejudices that are still going to color how we perceive this issue or any other issue for that matter. Okay. So one individual is going to, because of his particular background, his particular biases, is going to be convinced that voting third party is the only way to go.
Okay, so listen to me, Gary. Listen to me. I'm going to move on after this because I'm running in circles and I'm getting frustrated. Trump's going to win or Biden's going to win, period. Why can't we understand that? How is the sanctity of our own personal vote canceled in this battle? That's what I don't get it. I don't get it.
We've got to love our enemies, and our enemies in our own household, and this is cover. This is why that situation is. Even though they're voting differently when we think they should, maybe, and stuff, and we are not sure who's hearing what, we got to, if they're our brothers, we've got to love them, and that's got to be the bottom line.
That's thank you, Larry. That's not even what I mean. Coming back to the same thing. Dave, why do we see it so much?
You are making your point, Dave.
What's that?
You are making your point. Okay. I think we understand what you're trying to say.
Okay.
But we can't explain it.
We can't. Thank you. Let's move on. So here's what it is in my mind. In my mind, I saw this 5 minutes from Tucker Carlson this morning. I thought this is it. This is the way that I see it. Go ahead and play that, Mike, real quickly.
There is so much going on, so much news, it is impossible to metabolize. Claims and slogans and rumors coming in from every direction. Been online recently, checked your phone. It's overwhelming. We're going to have the very latest news throughout the hour tonight. We want to begin a different way. We want to begin this show with a single image. Now, the image doesn't tell you who's going to win or lose tomorrow. Instead, it's a metaphor for the election itself and for the moment that we're living in and will continue to live in. The picture is from a town called Butler, Pennsylvania. It's 35 miles north of Pittsburgh. The president held a rally there over the weekend. Butler's like a lot of places you'll find in this country once you head inland from the coasts. It's a former industrial town. They made Pullman rail cars there for many years. But it's been losing population for decades. There's still a lot of nice people in Butler. For $60,000, you can buy a decent house there. It's a place you might be happy in. But our professional class is not impressed by Butler. They don't consider Butler, Pennsylvania, or places like it, the future. To them, places like Butler are embarrassing relics of a past best forgotten. The men of Butler may have built this country, and they did, but they mean nothing to our leaders now. You can be certain of that because when large numbers of people in Butler started killing themselves with narcotics, no one in Washington or New York or Los Angeles said a word about it. And so it continued. There have now been so many opioid deaths in Butler that a few years ago, residents built an overdose memorial in the middle of town. MSNBC didn't cover that. So given all of that, it was interesting how the people around Butler feel about Donald Trump. Here are the pictures of the president's rally there on Saturday night. Tens of thousands of people came. So many people that the crowd obscured the horizon. It looked like a visit from the Pope. When was the last time a political speech drew that many people? Well, the media didn't ask. Instead, they attacked the rally as a super spreader event. Trump endangers thousands in Pennsylvania. Okay, we'll leave the epidemiology to CNN. But the question still hung in the air. Why did all those people come? Why? They must have known that Donald Trump is the most evil man who's ever lived. They've heard that every day for 5 years. They know that people who support Donald Trump are also evil. They're bigots, they're morons, they're racist cult members. They know that Americans have been fired from their jobs for supporting Donald Trump, not to mention kicked off social media, belittled by their kids' teachers, shunned by decent society. Only losers and freaks support Donald Trump. People in Butler knew all of that. But on Saturday, they went to the Donald Trump rally anyway. Why exactly did they do that? We should be pondering that question deeply as we watch tomorrow's returns and as we live through the aftermath of them. Millions of Americans sincerely love Donald Trump. They love him in spite of everything they've heard. They love him often in spite of himself. They're not deluded. They know exactly who Trump is. They love him anyway. They love Donald Trump because no one else loves them. The country they built,
amen,
the country their ancestors fought for over hundreds of years, has left them to die in their unfashionable little towns, mocked and despised by the sneering half-wits with finance degrees but no actual skills who seem to run everything all of a sudden. Whatever Donald Trump's faults, he is better than the rest of the people in charge. At least he doesn't hate them for their weakness. Donald Trump, in other words, is and has always been a living indictment of the people who run this country. That was true 4 years ago when Trump came out of nowhere to win the presidency, and it's every bit as true right now. Maybe even more true than it's ever been. And it will remain true, regardless of whether Donald Trump wins re-election. Trump rose because they failed. It's as simple as that. If the people in charge had done a halfway decent job with the country they inherited, if they'd cared about anything other than themselves, even for just a moment, Donald Trump would still be hosting Celebrity Apprentice. But they didn't. Instead, they were incompetent and narcissistic and cruel and relentlessly dishonest. They wrecked what they didn't build. They lied about it. They hurt anyone who told the truth about what they were doing. That's true. We watched. America is still a great country, the best in the world, but our ruling class is disgusting. A vote for Trump is a vote against them. That's what's going on in that picture. That's what's going on in this country.
Bingo.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker.
Wow.
Bingo.
Wow.
Right?
Bingo.
Bingo. So that's what spurs me then. Why can't my brothers see? Who's missing it here? Because I think that is just so, that's so clearly it. My brother, I told you, my brother is a union Democrat and he's voting for Trump. He said, Trump's not a Republican. Trump's an American, right?
Amen.
Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you should have put that first.
Yeah, I should. But that's it, though, isn't it?
Isn't that it?
That's what it is.
Hey, Coach, I'm glad you let it be discussed, because everyone that is Christian needs to see how important this is to understand these things. I never understood it, Coach, but mm-hmm. I do now. We each should take something away from this argument about how different we are in the body. And we need to get better at sharpening each other. I've really, really worked on that.
And I'm
still not good at it, Coach. I still make too many sparks.
Here's the problem, though. See, really, maybe I should have showed it first. We are totally and completely loyal to our own convictions. And I'm not making light of anybody's convictions, because Lord knows I'm loyal to my convictions. But sometimes we have to look and say, okay, my heart really says this, and I know this is right, but you know, in this instance, I think I'm going to have to do this. And we see that as compromise, and I don't think it's compromise. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think it's compromise. I think it's wisdom. I think sometimes we are so theologically rooted and deeply grounded that we're just like an anchor. We're just an anchor and a pillar. Oh. Sometimes, yeah.
Psalm 71, number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Oh, there's confusion for sure. Pastor Tom,
I thought on paper.
Union is of the devil.
On paper, Coach, our trip was a loser. But we went with our heart, Coach. We went because we felt God is calling me to go do something, to do this. Amen. We went with our heart. This is what you just said. Okay. But look what it produced, Coach. It produced, I believe, what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our country. If you try to wait and do everything according to my organization or my agenda or paper, you don't do anything, or you just waste away. But we went with our heart, Coach, and that's what you're saying, I believe.
Yeah, and I'm saying this, you know, really, we love to criticize other people without really, really deeply putting ourselves in their shoes. That's one of the things I learned about the whole Bill Barr episode. When I saw in his neighborhood that there were more Biden signs than trees, I got a whole different perspective on that guy. I don't know where his heart is, but I can't imagine living in the midst of all those people, having to live there, and then trying to take some type of legal action against their hero. Folks, these are human beings, right? These are human beings operating in a natural world with their own convictions.
I want to say one thing. I don't mean to just take over. I don't want to come across this way, but let me just tell Elisha, God called Elisha to go do a battle. Okay, he took his servant, whatever his name was. And God's going to do this. And Elisha sees the host of God in the heavens getting ready to take this battle. And his servant's going, we can't win. There's no possible way. You can't. And he says, you don't see what I see. And finally, he says, Lord, take the scales off his eyes so he can see. And God did, and he saw the host of heaven, and he goes, wow, this is over. Okay, Coach, we went to Bill Barr's. We took the scales. I believe we did this, Coach. We took some scales off of his eyes to see what God is doing, and now he's able to participate in something God is doing, and it's bigger than him.
Amen. Well said, Randy. Well said. Pastor Tom, come on in. I see. Try to get in a couple times. I saw you.
Well, I just listening to what you're saying. I think sometimes there's those that extend more grace to people they know or they feel like might benefit them than I've heard them give Trump and his past dealings or even now where he may be in his walk. And that kind of blows me away a little bit. And I think the people that actually get exactly what you're saying are those Amish people riding around with Trump signs. Because they've got some conflict of conviction. Yet they get what's going on because what I kind of get out of this whole thing is you see when God doing it, he's really made the line in the sand pretty clear. And it's came down to that and we muddy it up by all these other things. I mean, there was some of the Pharisees, they knew that the Messiah, okay, would be born in Beth. They said, you know, Jesus, they said they thought he was from Nazareth. Well, he was, but he was born in Bethlehem, but they didn't know that. Hmm. So they were against the guys saying that he was the Messiah. And they're like, yeah, but how can he be born? He's got to come from Bethlehem. No, Messiah's not come from Nazareth. And they argued back and forth, but they muddied the whole thing by saying, okay, is he the Messiah? Let's just look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they missed the forest through the trees. And I just believe in okay, this. So, I don't worship Trump.
I don't
worship Trump, but it comes down to an either or.
So yeah, that's right. That's right, Tom. And so people would say, come out from among thee and come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So we have this we have this battle for America between Trump, who isn't perfect, and Biden, who I believe is communist and of the devil. And I'm going to do what? I'm going to come out from among them and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be all by myself and I'm going to vote with this guy over here. And that way I won't get my hands dirty at all. See,
well, they would have been upset with Rahab.
Well, that's
who lied and hid the spies.
I'm telling you, that's, I love all my brothers. I love people who follow their conscience. I just, yeah.
Wasn't it Pontius Pilate that kept his hands clean?
No, he thought he did. He sure thought he did. Yep, he sure did. Hey, listen, we're about out of time. This was not where I was going to go today, so I'm going to make sure that we do it tomorrow. You know, the left is already planning a coup. Hey, Mike, just pull this website up real quickly for these guys so maybe they can study it a little bit tonight. Mike, the website is I'm sorry, let me hit something here. The website is, folks, called exposesunrise.com. Might click on that. It's the next to last thing. Exposesunrise.com. And I think I was going to discuss this today. I think it would do you well to, when you get a chance, to visit this website, folks, to show us exactly what it is the left is planning, not only beginning tonight, and carrying on from here on out over the next however long it's going to take, whether they win or whether they lose. And folks, these people are organized and they are not going quietly into that good night. So let me tie it all together. Because I know this, I don't understand why my brothers in Christ can't see this as well. Maybe that's my dilemma. It's bigger, folks. Listen, it's bigger than just single issue. It's bigger than just abortion. It's bigger than just homosexuality. It's bigger. And so I guess my point is the mob mentality. Well, I'm talking about our aspect of it. Sometimes yes. I gotta lay down my. What I really, really, my deep conviction. for the better of the. Is that making sense? That's where I think we are, and I think that all the issues that we go to war over, if we would get actively involved after this election, then we can begin to impact. But if we vote Donald Trump back in office and then go back and sit in our pews and expect him to fix America, it ain't gonna work. Whether I vote for Kanye West or Mama East, it doesn't matter if we don't get actively involved.
Amen.
That's my story. Hey, we are in for a ride, aren't we? It's going to be something to see what's going to happen over the next. What a time to be alive!
The battle begins today.
And let's do this. Let's drop our swords against one another. We've met the enemy, and it is us. Let's stop it, huh? Let's stop it. Let's all come together. God bless you, man. Well, I will have stuff to talk about in the morning. That's for sure. See you tomorrow.